Listening Library presents Things Not Seen by Andrew Clements. Chapter 1. About Me. It's a Tuesday morning in February, and I get up as usual and I stumble into the bathroom to take a shower in the dark, which is my school day method because it's sort of like an extra 10 minutes of sleep. It's after the shower. That's when it happens. It's when I turn on the bathroom light and wipe the fog off the mirror to comb my hair. It's what I see in the mirror. It's what I don't see. I look a second time and then rub at the mirror again. I'm not there. That's what I'm saying. I'm not there. I feel kind of dizzy, so I make my way back to bed because if I'm dreaming, bed is the place, right? And I wait to wake up. But I don't, because I already am. I feel my heart pounding in my chest. My breath comes fast and my mouth is dry. I lift my head off the pillow and see my shape on the bed. It's right there, under the covers. Then I pull off the electric blanket and the sheet. Nothing. So I go back to the bathroom, to the big mirror, and I'm still not there. The mirror is the mirror, and it is on the wall, and I am not there in front of it. I think I am. I mean, I see the mirror. I see my towel wave through the air. I see the shower curtain jump when I punch at it. But I don't see me. So I panic, and I wrap the towel around my waist, and I go to tell my mom and dad, which is not like me. I don't tell them much. I mean, they're okay in small doses, and they can be useful. Them knowing what I'm up to usually makes them less useful. But they are smart. I give them that much. And this looks like a problem where smarts might count, so I'm headed for the kitchen. I know they'll both be there because this is a work day, a school day, and on such a day in the Phillips house, eggs and toast hit the heat at 7:15. Always. I go down the hall to the stairs, and I stop. I'm scared of the stairs. Normally I have good eye-hand coordination. I don't dork out, don't drop my tray in the cafeteria, trip on the stairs, nothing like that. But there's a problem this morning. No hands, no arms, no legs, no feet. I feel them, but I can't see them. I hang onto the banister and feel my way down like a 3-year-old. Then I'm in the kitchen doorway, my feet cold on the tile floor. Dad scrambles the eggs. Mom reads the paper. And I say, "Guys, I can't see myself." They glance at the door to the dining room, and Dad says, "Well, come on in here and let's see what's the matter." And I say, "But that's what's the matter. I am in here. I can't see myself. You can't see me. I can't be seen. Like, I'm invisible." Mom looks at Dad and she smiles, that kid's kind of smile that I hate, then looks back to her paper. She turns on her voice of authority. "Stop messing around now, Bobby. You've only got 20 minutes before your bus. Disconnect the microphone or the walkie-talkie or whatever it is you're playing with. Come hang up this wet towel and then get in here and eat. Now!" Meet Professor Mom, also known as the director. Her motto is, when in doubt, give an order. She's used to the timid little freshmen in her literature classes at the University of Chicago. She expects young people to jump when she barks at them. I've been accused. I'm messing around, goofing off, again. So I pull out my chair, sit on it, grab my orange juice, glug it down, and thump the glass onto the placemat. And now I've got their attention. Completely. Dad stops stirring eggs and stares at my empty glass. Mom leans so far forward that she spills her own juice and it drips into her lap. She doesn't notice. Dad says, "This is a trick, right? Do something else." So I pick up my spoon, lick it, and hang it on my nose. A pretty good trick even when your nose looks like it's there. The spoon hangs in midair. Bobby? Mom's voice is squeaky. Bobby? Stop this. Another order. I'm not doing anything, Mom. It's just happening. The spoon drops and jangles on the floor. It's a ceramic floor in an old Victorian kitchen in Chicago in February, and I'm sitting on an oak chair wearing a damp towel. I'm freezing. Dad turns off the heat under the eggs. Have you ever had the science of exactly what happens during the process of making scrambled eggs explained to you in great detail? I have. About 10 times. Dad stands there with a wooden spoon in one hand, frying pan in the other. The look on his face says, perplexed physicist at work. I'm expecting a theory any second, and Dad delivers. He says, since we can't all be dreaming this, we must be looking at some kind of visible light anomaly. I've read the research on this kind of thing. I mean, the research on the mathematical theories, but this is a phenomenon, an event. Such a useful observation. The guy can't help being Joe Physics. It's what he does. He works at Fermilab. That's one of those places where they smash atoms and then take pictures of the bits. Life is one big science experiment for Dad. Dad's been waving the spoon around as he talks. Egg boogers are all over the place. Mom tries to talk again, but all we get is more squeaks. I'm starting to wonder when the smarts are going to kick in. Dad gets it back under control almost right away. He mops up Mom's juice, serves up 3 plates, and sits down. Dad and I start to eat, but instantly he stops chewing. Dad watches as I float forkloads of rubbery eggs up to my mouth. So does Mom. And I'm watching, too. It's a good show. Bobby and his disappearing breakfast, now appearing on the big screen of life in the kitchen of the weird. Mom's hand starts reaching for where she figures my arm will be. She's off by about a foot, so I lean forward to help out. When her hand hits flesh, she freaks, like she's grabbed a lizard or something. Oh, God! Oh, God, it's Bobby! It's him! He's there! He's not... Oh, God, David, do something. Let's call Dr. Weston or someone else, a specialist. So I'm thinking, oh, great. Yeah, let's call one of those invisible teenager specialists. I'll get the yellow pages. But I don't say that. I say, Mom, come on, pull it together. I'm not sick or anything. I'm okay. See, I'm eating a healthy breakfast to help build strong bodies 12 ways. Really? Mom, I'm okay. And I reach over and pat her hand. She jumps again, and then she grabs hold of my hand with both of hers. She squeezes so hard, I can feel my bones turning to tuna salad. She's kind of rocking back and forth in her chair, trying to get her breathing to slow down. She doesn't know where to look. Her eyes dart all over where I'm sitting. But then she focuses in on the captive hand, that blank space between her 2 hands that feels like her only child, her little baby Bobby, her life's big disappointment. It's Dad again. He's clearing his throat. That means he knows something we don't, and he wants to be sure we're listening carefully. Emily, now think. We can't tell a soul about this. Not one person. Not your parents, not Dr. Weston, not Margie or Lewis, not anyone. Imagine what would happen if the news of this, whatever this is, if this got out into the public. We'd have every reporter and every camera in the world on our front steps in 30 minutes. And the government. I know the government. They would be here 10 minutes after the story broke to take Bobby somewhere safe. You think the CIA and the Joint Chiefs would be interested in this? I can tell you without a doubt they would. So we tell no one. He stops to let that sink in. When there's a family crisis or something bad happens, usually you get to call for outside help. When Bobby gets caught shoplifting, you call your lawyer. When Mom...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?